Today on the Run to the Top podcast.
Power is useful because it's the only independent or objective measure of running performance. Pace is impacted by if you're running up and down terrain, you may be working extremely hard to get up that terrain, but your pace goes down. So when you're training, you're really looking at how hard am I working, not necessarily how fast am I going.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Sinead Hockey.
Hi everyone, Sinead here with you for this latest episode of Run to the Top, brought to you by Runners Connect. Thank you so much for joining me today. Whether you're listening to this on your run or maybe during your commute, I hope you're having a great day so far and that you enjoy this podcast. We've got a pretty interesting show on tap today, but before I introduce our guest, I just want to fill you in on what you might have missed last week. We were joined by ultra runner, coach, best-selling author, and all-around running guru, Jenny Hadfield. Jenny is the author of Running for Mortals, as well as Marathoning for Mortals, and she's a large part of the reason running has taken off in the last two decades. Jenny has devoted her life to helping runners with busy lives reach their potential by tailoring their training to fit their needs, not the other way around. She had a lot to say that, I'll be honest, just kind of blew me away, especially on the benefits of syncing up your training to your body's natural ebb and flow. If you missed it, be sure to check it out. This week, we're joined by engineer and innovator Jamie Williamson. Jamie is a co-founder of Stride, the world's first wearable power meter for running. And you might be wondering, what is a power meter? Well, I'll let Jamie explain that, but for now, let's just say Stride understands how fast you can run and how long you can run by measuring energy output. It measures this data at lab-grade power to give you target numbers to help you better execute your workouts and races so that reaching your goals is a lot simpler. I really think Stride is going to make heart rate training a thing of the past, and I'm so excited to have Jamie on the show to tell us more about it. So right after a quick break to thank our sponsor, we will jump right into our interview. Thank you so much to Pacific Health Labs for sponsoring Run to the Top and for giving our listeners free samples of their all-natural Excel gels. Learn more on how to get your free samples at the end of this episode and check out Pacific Health Labs at runnersconnect.net/Pacific Health. Hey, Jamie, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Sinead, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. So, Jamie, first off, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background? What prompted you to start Stride, and how has the process of starting your own company been so far?
Sure, yeah. Well, first, I'm part of a team, and we've been all working together since about 2009, 2010, some even earlier than that. But largely, we came out of academia, and so we're very heavily technical, very much focused on correctness, working from the literature. But at the same time, we're really interested in making our research impactful and, you know, creating real things that people can use. So we started with sports and technology, kind of the intersection there, because we're also, you know, all kind of sports nuts. And one of the things that was common to us was running. And so we started by creating running wearable sensors that measure different things, essentially a mobile gait analysis lab. You can think about it that way, where it would track how you ran outdoors without needing a mobile gait lab. You can understand everything about your running form.
Oh, wow.
And, being here in Boulder, in Colorado, we were lucky enough to be here where it's kind of the mecca for endurance training.
Yep, definitely.
So we gave this technology to, you know, the folks here. And a lot of them were triathletes, and they, you know, they knew power from the bike, and we were giving them all these metrics about their form, and they were saying, well, you know, these are great, and we're learning about our form, but we don't know what to do with this data. We need this data to be actionable. And is there a way that you can measure power from running similar to how we have it on the bike? Because when we got it on the bike, this is, you know, this is a one number. It's actionable. It's usable. We know how to use it. Can you do this for running? And so we went kind of back to the laboratory and, you know, figured out the equations to do this, tested it in the laboratory against kind of a laboratory grade running power meter, which is force plate treadmill, motion capture camera, getting very accurate position over time. And we found out, wow, across, you know, a wide range of runners of different capabilities, you know, sizes and shapes, we can accurately track your running power, and we can do this outdoors. And so that's kind of was the birth of it, and where we launched the product initially from the chest back in early 2015. And then since then, we've been working on the FootPod version. Actually started the work in 2015, because a lot of our early adopters were willing to wear it on the chest, but they preferred kind of a no thought, just put it on, leave it on the shoe and run. So there's no on and off of the chest strap. So and it turns out we could do, when we moved to the foot, we could do quite a bit more tracking and intelligence and things. So it was a great move for us to go from the chest to the foot. And so we're continually learning. I mean, we're a small and focused team, and you know, we've had the ability to partner with world experts in fields complementary to ours that really are required to make Stride a reality, such as Drs. Andy Coggan and Steve McGregor, and world-class coaches and athletes, like I said, from being in Boulder, like including Olympic coach Bobby McGee. And, you know, after that, our Striders have been a huge resource to us. So it's been probably the most amazing thing is how such a small team, you know, partnering with all the right people and really treating our user base as kind of also as a partner. We've been able to really learn at a pretty fast rate to create something that's really useful. And I mean, we have report after report after report of personal bests that people are getting where, you know, they were up against a wall and this technology allowed them to identify weaknesses that they could work on and give them the structured training where they're not overtraining, they're not undertraining. So they reduce the risk of injury and they essentially optimize their time when training to the most, you know, effective possible. So wow, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like such an invaluable tool for not just runners, but triathletes and cyclists as well. So Jamie, are you in Boulder currently? Is that where you live at the moment?
Yeah, that's Boulder, Colorado.
Awesome. So you're clearly in a runner's mecca over there. You got your PhD in electrical engineering at the University of Colorado. Was this where you became interested in producing technology that would benefit runners and cyclists and really help them train more efficiently, just because you were in this runner's mecca and you were just surrounded by so many active people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can speak personally for myself. Of course, everyone on the team kind of has their own story here, but the common intersection of everyone on the team is technology and sports, in particular running. My story is I played soccer since I could walk, basically.
Okay. Nice.
And I ran as part of my fitness training. And so I was constantly interested in understanding this from quantifying my running. How efficient am I right now? What am I actually doing? What kind of, you know, energy output over time? What kind of stress load am I applying to my body? What does that mean for my physiological adaptation? Am I becoming faster? What about my cardiovascular engine? Can I run longer? All of these thoughts are things swirling around in my head while I'm training, doing my run training, you know, growing up. And of course, going to grad school for electrical engineering, I have a passion for technology. And I know technology can impact our day-to-day lives in completely transformative ways.
Yep.
And so that's, you know, my intersection of technology and running. Being here in Boulder just fostered it all the more. I started joining, you know, fun runs and getting integrated into the run community here. Mm-hmm. And it's huge. I mean, we have some of the best outdoors in the world. Mm. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing place to just get out, bleed off some stress, some energy, enjoy the outdoors. That's kind of how I got interested in, helping runners.
Absolutely. You definitely got a wide selection of running venues out there to choose from, for sure. I've been out to Boulder and it's such a great place for runners. So talking about technology, obviously a lot of GPS watches today come equipped with accelerometers, and these measure velocity. They also come equipped with barometers to measure atmospheric pressure and so on. So Stride kind of does take it one step further with these motion and environmental sensors that you were talking about. Can you explain how Stride differs from other devices and how these sensors work?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, there, you mentioned GPS watches. They're using satellites to track your position over time. They do a fairly good job at that, but computing real-time pace is extremely difficult, especially at the slow paces when you're running. When you're in a car and you use your GPS, you can actually use it as a speedometer, but that's just because the signal is so huge. You're changing position, you're changing large amounts of position over short amounts of time because you're going fast in a car.
Okay.
And it's the opposite when running. What you really need for this to do it accurately, again, it's kind of from us going to the foot here, is when we went to the foot from the chest, we augmented the hardware and both sensing and computing tremendously. We have 10x the computing power, and we added multiple sensors as well. And this allows us to do motion tracking from the foot. So motion tracking is essentially, we know your position of your foot. We could draw the sagittal footpath stride by stride throughout your entire run if we would like.
Wow.
And what this allows us to do, of course, is measure extremely accurate pace. And Stride is the only calibrationless technology. So there are other footpods out there. In fact, they've been around for quite a while. Essentially, what they're doing is listening to the loudness of your footstep. You can think of it that way.
Okay.
They are integrating acceleration, only just a linear acceleration from accelerometers to determine loudness or how big they think that footstep is. And so it's not a direct measure. It's just kind of a guess based on many, many runners' data. And you may be similar to the average runner, or you may not. So that's where calibration comes in. So what calibration does is say, all right, I know that you went this distance from GPS. Let me apply a scaling factor to kind of bring that footpod data back to where it should be. But the problem is that's only going to match if you run exactly the same way across exactly the same terrain as when you calibrated.
Okay,
as soon as you start running faster, your loudness level of your footstep may change depending upon your run form, depending upon the surface condition. If you're running uphills, you're going to land softer. If you're running downhills, maybe harder. So all of these variables skew the number. And then essentially your calibration is no longer valid unless you're running in exactly the same conditions.
Which you rarely ever are. So that's interesting.
Right. Yeah. So for Stride, as motion capture technology, even if you're running on a technical trail where, say, you're dodging tree roots and boulders or rocks, and your stride length is varying, and you know you're running uphills and downhills, and so again your stride length is varying, or your cadence is varying, your form is varying, you're getting tired and fatigued, you change surfaces, all of these things are irrelevant. They're not taken into the distance measurement. So that's why Stride is calibrationless. It doesn't need calibration because it's actually measuring every single step independently. And actually, turns out the error of Stride is the lowest, even compared to GPS. So if you go on longer runs, Stride will be more accurate than GPS. If it's, you know, if it's shorter distance run, then they're probably comparable. But the real time pace measurement that you get from Stride, it's unparalleled with any other technology.
That's amazing. I'm thinking back to a few group runs I've done with people who have had their GPS watches on, and every time we get to a mile, their watches would beep, you know, somewhere between 20 seconds of each other. So it was just so much room for error with GPS watches. So it really sounds like Stride it's gone above and beyond even those. So Jamie, what exactly does power mean as a unit of measure? You say that Stride really uses power as a unit of measure here. So what data does Stride take into account when determining power?
Yeah. So just like on the bike, power is essentially work done over time. So it represents your body's output or its performance. And Newton defines power as force times velocity. And actually, that's how we verified that the data from Stride is correct. We used a 3D force plate treadmill, measuring all the forces into the ground from each stride, and a high-res motion capture camera to capture the high-resolution position of your body over time. So instantaneous velocity, essentially. So then that's our laboratory grade power meter for running. And so we're able to match that. So power is useful because it's the only independent or objective measure of running performance. So it's not impacted by any other things. For example, heart rate or RPE, they're both impacted by things like stress. Mm. Pace is impacted by, you know, like if you're running up and down terrain, you may be working extremely hard to get up that terrain, but your pace goes down. So when you're training, you're really looking at how hard am I working, not necessarily how fast am I going. So this is really important because it means that the training data you're getting is actually actionable. And that means that you can essentially train specifically for whatever race distance you have. It's very similar to cycling where you can personalize your training based on your fitness level. So we in cycling, they have what's called functional threshold power or FTP. And so what this is it's essentially the maximum amount of energy that you can produce in an hour on a bike.
Okay.
And we do that in running, and that's going to give you a fitness baseline. Actually, we do shortened versions of that, so you don't need to run for a full hour, full out. And actually, if you have a recent 10K race result, then you know we can use that as well to give you your fitness baseline. And we call it critical power.
Okay.
From this baseline, we can generate power zones. So these are zones ranging from 1 through 5, 1 being the very lowest intensity. You can almost do it forever. And 5, almost a full out sprint. It's your repetition zone. And what these zones do is they stress your physiology differently. So if I'm running in a lower zones, then the stress is mainly on my cardiovascular side. So I want to run really long distances at very low intensity, and my cardiovascular engine can improve. And then at the higher end, I'm stressing, the stress on my body is much more neurological or neuromuscular. And this is going to increase and strengthen those muscles supporting good running form. So I want to have a mix of both, and I want to have them kind of, you know, varied and periodic through my week's training. And that way I'm stressing my physiology completely, and I'm giving my body the ability to recover so that it adapts to the stress that I applied to it, so that I could then repeat the cycle and apply more stress and recover more. And then that's improvement. And what power does is it takes the guesswork completely out of this process. You may have asked yourself, how hard do I train today? How long do I run today? How fast do I run today? How many intervals do I do, and for how long, and how much rest do I get between them? And power quantifies all these things, and it does it in a completely objective way. Further, you can use power to pace yourself in a race optimally. So if you're running a road course, for example, Boston, which has lots of ups and downs, elevation gain and loss, mm-hmm. then you know, most people up until now, kind of the tool that they've had available to them is either heart rate or pace. And most people don't use heart rate to pace a race anyway, because it's volatile. You're, you know, depending upon your rest, depending upon how much anxiety you have about the race.
Yep.
Your nutrition, you're going to have, you know, cardiac lag throughout the race. So you're going to have an elevated baseline, basically the baseline changes throughout the race. So it's not consistent. So if you don't have a consistent metric, it's very difficult to train with it. Pace, on the other hand, so then, you know, people, when they're pacing for a race, they kind of default to pace because that's basically all we've had. But the problem there is, again, if you're running on a course with any varied terrain, then you don't want to keep your pace the same going up a hill as you did on the flat, because you're just going to burn yourself up. And you know, a lot of people have experienced that, where you're kind of charging up the hill, and the effect on your body is nonlinear. So you're actually taking away more from your body than you're paying more than you're getting back in terms of performance, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Where what you really want to do is you want to maintain the way physiologically to optimize power generation. And basically, so you start the race with kind of a full battery, you know, that's how much energy you have to spend in that race. And given the duration of the race, at the very end, at the finish line, you want the battery to be empty. You don't want it to be negative. You don't want it to be, you know, you don't want to have leave stuff on the course where you still have maybe some energy to spare. You actually want to just thread the needle and have nothing left at the end. And power is the way to do that across any course with varied terrain. Because if you want to essentially keep your power consistent up and down those hills. So gotcha. The way to maximize the power delivery is to pick the number that's going to leave you, the power number, that's going to leave you empty at the end and stick to it throughout the race.
Okay, so very interesting.
That's what power allows you to do. And we give tools in the Power Center for Stride to kind of help you for the duration that you're doing for, say, 5K or 10K or half marathon, marathon. You know, what is the power number that I should be at for this race? And then you just stick to it, even if that, and you'll find, you know, a lot of people give race reports where they'll, you know, they're going up this hill and they're pacing by power and they're finding, wow, I'm actually slowing down quite a lot. Is this right? You know, and then bam, at the end of the race, they've PR'd by a significant amount, you know, because they didn't burn themselves up like they didn't even realize they were doing in the first place. So anyway, so it's a pretty powerful tool.
Absolutely. It sounds, speaking from experience, I've gone out too fast in races too many times to count. So I can see where this would really be a really pretty exciting tool for most runners, especially when they're trying to do their first marathon. So Jamie, you were talking about these target power numbers and how they do help you to kind of keep to a more consistent pace throughout the race, regardless of elevation and terrain. I do know you were talking about heart rate as well a little bit there, and this is kind of a hot button topic in the running community, I think, because a lot of runners do train by heart rate, and how they get their heart rate zones is by using that popular equation of 220 minus your age. And there are a lot of, external factors like you were talking about that do leave some room for error when it comes to heart rate. So first off, Jamie, what are a few of these pitfalls when it comes to training by heart rate? And how again, do Stride's training zones really allow for better accuracy?
Yeah, sure. So heart rate training is kind of a first order method of training. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but then, you know, if you want to optimize your training time and get the most effectiveness out of it, then, you know, there are other methods which are not affected by these external factors, as you put it. And some of those external factors, you know, are just stress. Maybe, you know, you have a big deadline coming up, or you broke up with your significant other, or you didn't get much sleep last night. It's affected by your nutrition. So the baseline is constantly changing day by day. This makes the zones change day by day. So it's not a very precise way of training. And the other couple factors here are cardiac lag and cardiac drift. So heart rate is a physiological response to the performance that you are outputting. So when I start sprinting, my performance goes up instantly, but the measure of that performance of the effect on my body takes maybe a minute to stabilize. So it's going to my heart rate will start going up and up and up and up, and where it stabilizes may also change, and that's called cardiac drift. So first off, the lag is there, so I don't, you know, I have to wait quite a bit of time to get anything where I can say what zone am I in to finish, wait for that metric to finish changing. So say I'm doing a set of intervals from the first interval, even if I my interval speed never changes. I do 10 intervals. The first interval, where that heart rate stabilizes, is going to be different from the last one. It's going to have a consistent upward trend, and that's called cardiac drift.
Okay.
So that baseline changes. So the baseline changes not only day by day, but also inside of a training session. And how much that baseline changes, the cardiac drift, is also dependent upon these other external factors. My drift may be extremely fast if I'm under a lot of stress. So it makes it really hard to precisely train. You're still kind of out there in the woods trying to figure out what's what. So that's the biggest difference, I think, with power. Although I will say that a lot of people do use heart rate as kind of a safety measure. So they'll look at what is my max heart rate that I want to stick to today, and I don't want to go above. And they'll use it in that way. So just to make sure that they're not overdoing it.
After the break, Jamie will tell us not only how Stride gives you paces by measuring your ever-changing fitness, but also how it can actually help reduce your risk for injury. This is Sinead Hockey, and you're listening to Run to the Top at Runners Connect. When I started using gels to fuel during my long runs and workouts, I'll be honest, I couldn't find one that I didn't hate having to take. All the gels I tried were either too sweet or too thick, making them hard to consume without chasing them down with gulps and gulps of water. They also seemed to be giving me all sorts of GI issues, which obviously made long runs and workouts a lot harder than they needed to be, but even more importantly, I felt like they were impacting my overall health. That is until I discovered Excel Gel by Pacific Health Labs. Unlike most gels, Excel Gel has a thin consistency that makes it easy to take while running, and it's also all natural, completely free of gluten and preservatives you just don't need. It's also the only gel on the market that has the proven 4-to-1 ratio of carbs to protein, as well as a mix of carbohydrates to smooth glucose uptake and extend endurance. Excel Gel helps me get the most out of my long runs and workouts, and I absolutely love it, especially the raspberry cream flavor with caffeine. Right now, Pacific Health is offering all Run to the Top listeners free samples of Excel Gel. All you have to do is send an email to info@pacifichealthlabs.com with the subject line Run to the Top. Then simply request your Excel Gel samples, as well as the address you'd like them mailed to, and then you can try them for yourself for free. Again, that's info@pacifichealthlabs.com. If you want to check out more of Pacific Health's great products, you can do so at runnersconnect.net/Pacific Health. We are back with Jamie Williamson. And Jamie, earlier you said Stride does base its target power numbers off of critical power. So what exactly is critical power? Does that have anything to do with lactate threshold and VO2 max by any chance?
Yeah, they do correlate. So critical power is the power number that it's very related to lactate threshold, especially. Okay. So it's essentially defined as the maximum power that you can sustain for longer periods of time. So what happens with your lactate threshold is when you're above that threshold, you're no longer buffering lactate. Below that threshold, you are. And buffering just means your body's able to process it, all the lactate that's generated in time before new lactate is generated. So that means that you're constantly buffering and removing that lactate. Whereas if you're above your lactate threshold, so you're running faster than your lactate threshold, now your body starts accumulating it. It can't keep up anymore. And that threshold, the power number that you generate at that threshold is your critical power.
Okay. Interesting.
Roughly speaking. So yeah, so they're very related.
And so is that usually, like you said, is that kind of akin to 10K race pace? Is that how you would maybe determine your critical power by just taking it from a 10K performance that you've done?
Yeah, it depends. If you're extremely high performance 10K guy, like 30 minutes or so, then the estimate that we can do with your 10K time, you know, will not be as accurate as those people who are, you know, upwards and maybe like 50 minute range or higher. Or 45, 50 minute. Dr. Stephen McGregor helped us to define critical power. And it's right around 50 minutes is where, if you can run this speed for 50 minutes. So 10K time is kind of an estimate. There are other ways to do it that are more accurate. And that's where we came up with the 3-minute, 9-minute test, and also the 3-lap and 6-lap test. So those two tests are kind of equivalent. They just, one constrains by time and the other constrains by distance. And it gives you two measurements in this case, which help us to improve the prediction of your critical power. But it's using a much, much shorter testing time. And the other thing is that critical power changes over time. So if I'm getting fitter, critical power is you know, my lactate threshold is going to, you know, improve. And so my critical power will improve too. And that means because our power zones are based off critical power, I'll want to retest that periodically. So we recommend, you know, every 3 to 6 weeks or whenever you feel like your performance has changed and your fitness has changed, you probably want to retest your critical power.
Okay, very interesting. And so people can find these two tests on your website. Is that correct?
Yeah. And in fact, there are the Power Center supports them. You can basically, you're just going to run for, you know, 3 minutes or 9 minutes. That's all out run. Same thing for the 3-lap, 6-lap. You can average the power number in the Power Center. We provide the tools to do that. You can just drag across your data. It'll compute an average power for that data that you select. And then you plug that into our critical power and zone calculator in the settings tab, and it'll give you all your zones and compute your critical power number for you.
Wow, Wow.
And there are other methods of doing this too. There have been people who do critical power tests in the wintertime on their treadmills by selecting a speed that, you know, they think is, you know, roughly what their lactate threshold is. And then they just run at that and see what is my power. So, I mean, there's really simple ways to do it, but like anything, if you want accuracy, you may have to do, you know, if you want more accuracy, I won't say they aren't accurate, but if you want really precise accuracy, then you'll have to do some of the more precise and accurate tests.
Okay. Very interesting. So as usual, it's key to test consistently, especially as you, like you said, as you get fitter throughout the season, your lactate threshold and VO2 max do improve as well when you get fitter. So it only makes sense that your critical power would as well. You know, you said that stride, obviously it really helps runners to pace themselves better in workouts and in races, but it also helps to allow runners to maybe improve the economy at which they're running and also their form. So how does it help in these areas, and how does it help to maybe even reduce the risk of injury for runners?
Yeah, sure. So stride, so with the foot pod, we've kind of, running economy is something that we've found, we've been able to really understand a bit more and do so out in the field, right? So out when you're actually running outside. And the way we do that is two ways. First, we have what's called form power. And you can think of form power as just the component of power that does not help forward progression. So the idea here is you want to reduce that at any given speed. So a lot of people go out and they'll run at a consistent speed, or they'll fix their treadmill to one speed, and then they'll just do form changes. This is great because you can actually feel what you are doing that will produce a power number that's lower. And you're not looking at things like, you know, say trying to change ground contact time or vertical oscillation, which Stride does report and people make use of those metrics, but those metrics are somehow intertwined. And So if you change one, maybe the other one changes. And how does that actually impact your running efficiency or running economy? It's hard to say, but power is a measure of your energy output at a given speed. And so if you can reduce your power, and especially the form power metric, then essentially you're improving your mile per gallon.
Okay.
So that's one thing that people can do in real time. The other thing, which, you know, we kind of borrowed from the literature actually, is this metric called leg spring stiffness. And what leg spring stiffness is just what it says. It's how stiff is the spring in your leg. And it's kind of weird to think of your leg as a spring. Mm-hmm. But as you're impacting, your leg in a way acts kind of like a pogo stick. And so it's going to compress the tissues and tendons in your leg. The elastic ones are going to store that energy. And then as you rebound off, they're going to give it back to you essentially for free. And this is this concept of recycled energy in running. And we want to improve or increase the amount of energy that we recycle every single step. And because if we do that, then metabolically, we don't have to regenerate that energy at each step. And that means we're more economical. It means that we can run further because we're using less energy at the same speed, or we could even bump up our speed and run the same distance. So it increases our performance. So leg spring stiffness is measured by stride, and it really relates mostly to your muscle tissue and your tendons. So we essentially can help to guide you to improve that through things like strength training, plyometrics, hill repeats. And then that will increase the amount of muscle tissue and strength of your leg and allow you to recycle more energy and become more economical. This is something that changes not necessarily within a run, but it's something you can track the improvement of, you know, week by week and month by month as you're doing these, adding these types of exercises in and being able to support a more economical form, being able to recycle more energy and being more economical overall.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think most runners wouldn't turn down an opportunity to maybe run a little bit faster without expending as much energy, like you said. So that's pretty cool that Stride does allow you to do that. And so when you're testing for maybe these weaknesses or these inefficiencies with your stride, does it give you real-time feedback as to how you are able to propel off the ground and thus kind of give you a gauge of your strength and see where you might need to improve a little bit?
Yeah, it depends on how you're displaying the data. If you use Garmin watches that support Garmin Connect IQ, which is a relatively, within the last 2 years or so, new platform on Garmin watches, then you can install the Stride Power data field. It's an IQ data field, and that'll give you real-time power in run mode. And you can also see in real time all the metrics from Stride if you install the IQ app from Stride. So then you can play with these things in real time. So all the numbers come in real time. And then if you do run with a phone, if you don't have a Garmin watch with IQ, then you could see it on the phone as well, whether iOS or Android. And then the other watches that we support on Stride are Polar and Suunto. And those you can see power in real time, and cadence and pace and distance, but not the other, like say form specific metrics, like you can on Connect IQ. So it just depends on, you know, how you look at the data in real time. And I also mentioned that Polar just recently released support for Stride in run mode. You get concurrent real-time power, native power, which means you can apply all of Polar's power-specific fields, like say like 3 second averages or 10 second or whatever. You can apply those specialized power fields to the Stride power data in run mode, and at the same time get calibrationless, really accurate pace and distance. So that's a really nice option. That's on the V800.
Wow, very cool. So a lot of our members, I mean, a lot of runners in general do love Garmin, and we've got a lot of members that actually are switching over to Polar as well. So it's pretty exciting that you guys do. You are compatible with all these other devices. So how can runners use Stride with their other devices? Are they compatible with most GPS watches and phones? Are they compatible with iOS as well?
Yeah, we have our own mobile app on iOS and also Android. And then, as I mentioned, Garmin watches through Connect IQ gives you all the metrics, the customized metrics. Polar, you get native power plus pace and distance. And Suunto, you get native power. So those are the options right now. And we also work with the third-party data platforms like Training Peaks and Strava Garmin Connect, Moose Count, and we're adding support for Polar Flow as well. So, and then, of course, there's the Power Center, which is kind of a power-specific experience for running power, which also we're continually adding to the, you could say, the intelligence of the Power Center. So its ability to kind of extract the information out of your power data across, you know, like say your last 60 days of running. So for example, right now we have a new tab that we added recently called the Improve tab, and it tracks your metabolic fitness, muscle endurance, and muscle power taken from your last 60 days of running, and it will compute the trends for you for those metrics.
Oh my gosh, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. And we also have a training power heat map, which basically shows for each duration of running over the last 60 days, how much power you're able to hold. And it, so it kind of gives you a snapshot of your training and allows, and this is also the way I mentioned before that, you know, you can do kind of a race predictor. So given, you know, a specific duration, what is the power number that I should be maintaining and holding during that race so that I know that I'm going to be fully expended by the end of that distance. And so it's fully data driven.
That's incredible. We have at Runners Connect, we have a lot of our runners do tune up races in preparation for their goal races, just for that very reason to see where they are and see how, just kind of assess their fitness. So it's pretty cool that Stride, it does, you know, does give you that feedback, and that's pretty awesome. So
yeah, and I'll mention too, you know, we also have power-based training plans depending upon your distance and ability. And in this Improve tab, we've added a section that shows how well am I matching to this plan. And so if I see that I can't really stay with it, I can see that quantitatively and I can pull it back.
That's
or if
incredible.
It's, you know, pretty easy for me, for example, like I'm, you know, it's saying that I should be spending this percent in zone 5 and I'm kind of, or zone 4 or zone 3, maybe my upper zones, and I'm overshooting what it's asking me to do. Well, maybe it's too easy and I can, it's actually comparing, you know, what is prescribed versus what are you really doing, and then telling you the difference so that you can adjust.
That's great. It just kind of sounds like it takes the guesswork out of it all and makes training a little bit more simple, which I think a lot of runners would not say no to. So
yeah, that's the grand vision.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely the goal here, I think. So Jamie, one more question I have for you is, Stride, it does measure terrain changes, and this is something that GPS watches don't actually do. So is there anything in the works for measuring environmental changes? Do you think that Stride will ever be able to measure wind, for instance?
Yeah, great question. We actually have, in the past, created prototypes that account for wind. And the thing is, we haven't introduced it as part of the product, mainly because the effect of wind when at running speed is fairly small. You really need really big gusts of wind to inhibit your forward progression such that you have to, you know, overcome, much more energy and power generation. So, but that said, that is a factor because, you know, that's essentially, we look at it as kind of a corner case that it doesn't affect, you know, most people in most conditions, but we want to be able to affect all, you know, have the correct effect across all conditions, all people. So wind is something we're working on and we have been working on. And like I said, we've partially solved, I would say, because it's still prototype phase, but it is something that, you know, I hope to be able to say that we can cover in the future. But as I said, it is a fairly minimal effect. I mean, in cycling, the inhibition of, say, forward progression due to wind or the boost or bonus you get from a tailwind really doesn't start happening until like 20 plus mile an hour winds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And on the bike, that's important. We're constantly probably at the speed 20 miles an hour or higher quite a bit on a bike. So that's why, you know, wind is so important in bike power meters. But with running, we just haven't really seen that. But stay tuned. We're constantly working to innovate on any line we can, and that's one of them.
That's awesome. Well, Stride, it sounds like it's such just an all comprehensive tool that could really benefit anyone, whether it be a runner like most of our audience, or a triathlete, or a cyclist. So you said you are trying to maybe factor wind into Stride's measurements. Is there anything else that you guys have on tap? Are you working on anything else at the moment?
Probably the thing right now is coaching. We want to work with coaches. So while this tool is, like you said, comprehensive and we want to make it comprehensive, it's not intended to replace the coach ever. Technology will never replace the coach. The coach has wisdom, experience. There's an innate kind of like human component there that you're not going to get from models and pattern recognition that technology can apply. So we're not trying to replace a coach. We're trying to essentially sharpen the lens of the coach or give them more information to help them do their job better. And then those who don't have coaches at least can get, you know, most of the way there in a way that they've never been able to in the past. And so right now we're working to partner with coaches to generate more and more power-based training plans. And so if you are a coach and you're working with power, reach out to us because we want to include you.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think any coach would welcome some more quantitative feedback when it comes to their athletes. So the fact that you guys are working with coaches as well is pretty phenomenal and something that we at Runners Connect are pretty interested in, as you know, Jamie. So Jamie, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. I have really enjoyed this interview. I've learned so much and I'm sure our listeners have as well. So thanks again for sitting down with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Sinead.
That was so interesting. Being able to get real-time, actionable feedback when you're in the middle of a workout or race is something most runners have dreamt of. And Jamie and his team at Stride have made it a reality. Not to mention they've made it feather light and something you can stick on your shoe where you don't even notice it's there. I know this episode was a bit technical here and there, so if you're interested in learning more about Stride and how it works, you can check out the show notes at runnersconnect.net/RC421. I cannot wait to try Stride out, and if you're interested in trying it out yourself, you can check it out at stride.com. Next week, we'll be speaking with the president of the International Association of Women Runners, Bennett Cohen. Bennett is a renowned coach for women over 40, and he's helped women into their late 70s reach new personal bests. He's been an avid runner for 37 years and a coach for 14. And he's got a ton of valuable insight on how to tailor our training depending on our age and gender. Be sure to check out Bennett's interview next week. And Don't worry if you are a man or a woman under the age of 40, there will be plenty for you in this interview as well. And one more thing before I sign off, if you enjoyed today's podcast, please consider subscribing or leaving a review in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This really helps us reach more runners like yourself and provide them with information that could really help them to their next PR. So if you have a couple minutes, we would greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much again for joining me today. And until next time, I hope you have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.